The NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
All right, NAFTA podcast, episode 201. One is the loneliest number of them all. One is now the sign. Shout out Jersey Jerry. It's just me on pod today, holding it down for episode 201. Not many of these episodes have ever been solo dolo, but when they happen, sometimes they're kind of nice. I don't really go to therapy anymore. This is kind of my version of therapy, I guess. I'm going to try to hold it down. We're going to go through a lot of or all of the matches this past week. We're going to preview the match week coming up. I'm going to update our listeners on who's winning the predictions. We're also going to get into who's winning the table predictions. We don't really get to talk about that often. And I'll give you some thoughts. I got a six pack of dudes of the week that I want to go through. But first things first, this past weekend, Michael and I went out to Columbus. We did a half marathon. It was a little bit my fault. It's a little bit of the Midwest's fault. We ran 13 laps in a car park, in a corporate office park, I guess is what you would call it. We don't really have those in New York. 13 laps. It was terrible. Michael ran it with me. He's a little bit faster than I am, maybe a lot bit faster than I am. But he ran it with me lap for lap. He's never done a half marathon and not stopped. So that was his goal. Mine was to get my half marathon time to be lower than what my marathon time would be if I ran it twice, essentially. No guarantees there, but you know, we both achieved that, and it was a good weekend to head out to Ohio, get to see Columbus again, hit up Jackie O's, a brewery that's based in Athens, Ohio, got a hat. It's always good to get merch, had really great beer there. So all in all, a great trip back to Ohio for the boys. But I do recommend if you're ever going to sign up for a race, especially a half marathon or a marathon, check the route. Not a lot of fun to run 13 laps in an office park, essentially. Shout out to Dublin, Ohio. No imagination whatsoever in that city. All right, let's get into the football. Let's get into the dudes of the week. Like I said, I want to get a six pack of dudes in here. A lot has been going on outside of the Premier League. Asian Cup, Africa Cup of Nations. Not many transfers, to be totally honest. There's been a lot of managers leaving. But this past week of the Premier League had a few stars pop up, hat trick winners. And like I said, those tournaments are going on in conjunction. So I want to shout them out. First things first, let's talk Asian Cup. I think if you were to ask anyone what the final would be, Qatar, Qatar versus Jordan, probably not on the top of people's minds. It does seem, and the football community is now saying, that South Korea might be cursed. Probably the most skilled team going into this one. Shout out to Jurgen Klinsmann for choking at the end. But I had my money there for sure, especially when they got to the semis. But Qatar is looking to go back-to-back in the Asian Cup. I actually totally forgot that they won it the last time. They'll be the first team to go back-to-back if they win in the past 20 years. My shout-out's going to go to Jordan. I think no one expected this team to get to the final, and especially because they finished third in their group. Insane run. Cinderella story like you read about. I'm rooting for them. Qatar got the World Cup. That should be enough. No Asian Cup for them. I'm rooting for Jordan in this one. So shout out to them. A three goal differential in the group, and then just been kind of waxing it on. Tajikistan 1-0. Beat South Korea, who was in their group 2-0, to get to the final. So we're pulling for Jordan. Also beat Iraq in the first round of the knockout. So Jordan's my first shout out for the dudes of the week. This week, let's go to AFCON. That final, Nigeria facing the hosts, Ivory Coast. Ivory Coast, the most new manager bump ever, fired their manager after the group stage. have just gone on a tear since, beating Senegal 6-5 in pens, beating Mali 2-1, and then beating DR Congo 1-0. Ivory Coast and Nigeria were from Group A. Neither one of them finished top of the group. Shout out to Equatorial Guinea on that one. And Nigeria beat them, I believe, 1-0 the first time they met in the group stage. I am just going to shout both teams out. I think it's really interesting that Ivory Coast was able to get to the final with this new coach. I got a lot of friends that are Nigerian, or at least part Nigerian, or claim Nigeria. I think that I'm gonna lean towards that way. One time did manage Ivory Coast in FM. Have a little heart there too. But at the end of the day, you look good, you feel good, you play good. Nigeria's got the best uniforms in maybe all of football. So I got to back Nigeria on this one. But it's just an incredible run. I love seeing the highlights of these tournaments. Asian Cup, haven't really been watching. AFCON, I'll get the highlights afterwards just because it's on BN. And guess what? I'm not paying for one more subscription base for soccer. I just can't do it. And if my wife knew how many I was paying for, we'd probably have to have a more direct and hard discussion. But these tournaments are great. And I know that they pull players from their Premier League teams, but it is awesome to see them get amped up and represent their country and have tough matches. I mean, AFCON's crazy. If it goes to pens, you never know what's going to happen. AFCON, definitely the most entertaining of the tournaments. And excited to see these finals, see how they end up. I'm pulling for Nigeria and Jordan, like I mentioned before. My third due to the week, I'm going to stay in the Asian Cup. And I know that we mentioned this kind of before, but I don't think we've had a episode since they had been knocked out of the tournament. You know what? Shout out to Palestine. Not trying to get controversial or anything, but the fact that that is going on in their country, they have players that are good enough to get out of the group stage and go into the knockout rounds and have a really, really solid showing in the Asian Cup. Sometimes there are stories in sports that have a greater impact on the world. You should try to educate yourself about what's going on there. And the fact that they were able to get to the group stage, the knockout rounds, and have a really, really great showing just kind of shows the determination and the will and mind over matter, because there's just craziness going on in their country right now. So shout out to Palestine, my third due to the week. Number four, I gotta hit up the first of the hat trick winners on this one. Dylan, not on pod today, but will be represented. Matias Cunha, a hat trick against Chelsea, I believe, and I'm pretty sure first hat trick for Wolves. But just an absolute showing for them. We're going to get into it later. Cunha with the three goals, beating Chelsea, and coming from behind. Palmer scored the first goal. You know, this Wolves team, I was looking at how all of us filled out our table at the beginning of the year. All of us had Wolves one spot above the relegation zone. Now they sit in 10th. Just the surprise of the season, for sure. I think Gary O'Neill, like I said in the last episode, if this were a American League or a like the NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, he's got to be the front runner for Coach of the Year, Manager of the Year, just because of where they were expected to finish. When you find out what they had to sell to be aligned with FFP that has come out recently, it makes it even more impressive. And honestly, the fact that these players have had the turnover at coach as much as they have, and he's been able to motivate them and get them to play for him with the tenacity that they have. They're a tough out. They're a strong, they're a gritty team. I think it's super impressive. So I think Wolves and Dylan should be really, really happy with Gary O'Neill stepping in for the guy that they had before, who is the old Sevilla coach that for some reason, oh, Lopetegui. I was like, for some reason, I can't remember my guy's name. But, you know, I do think they won in this regard. And it's kind of one of those rare things where if you look at where O'Neill was before with Bournemouth, I think they're happy with Iriola. And it's nice to see, you know, O'Neill, he got kind of screwed, and he's going to come out ahead regardless. It's just all around good story. So shout out to Cunha, and also kind of a shout out to the Wolves. Incredible team. Second hat trick, got to go to Phil Foden. I was listening to this game on the drive back from Columbus, the long, long, long drive back in the middle of the night to Brooklyn. Foden, 3 goals, one right before half that was really a catalyst for City, which again, we're going to get into this game a little bit, but has had an incredible season for Man City. Best year I've seen him play in a few. I think when he first came up with Pep, that was one of those years where I told Michael, I feel more comfortable every time that he's playing and in the starting lineup, and it's getting back to that. He's becoming ever more important every week. We have to have him on the team sheet. He is that good. So hat trick for Foden, my fifth dude of the week. And then number six, I'm going to go back to Chelsea, Wolves. Not who you're thinking. Sixth dude of the week, Mauricio Pochettino. Look, most people, when the chatter starts happening that they're going to be fired, they're going to be sacked, you start feeling bad for people. I don't want to feel bad for Pochettino. I actually feel like this is a blessing in disguise for him. Chelsea's a mess. An absolute mess. I don't know the direction that they're going in. I don't understand what they're doing. They picked wrong on a lot of these players, I really think. And with the contracts that are tied to them, it's going to be really, really hard to move them along and recoup any of the money that they spent. So, in all honesty, if Poch is fired, I think it's a win for him. I think it'll make a lot of sense for him to get out of there. And I think he should take a hard look in the mirror and say, hey, if you want to fire me, fire me. Let's do it. Let's get it over with. Because I think the sooner he can get out of there, the better for his mental health, to be totally honest with you. Chelsea's a mess. And I don't see it getting any better anytime soon. So, shout to Poch. I'm rooting for you to get fired. Because I think it'll be better for you. Boy math. Love to see it. All right. Premier League. It happened. Last week. Match week. Technically 23. We got City with a game in hand. And I do believe Luton Town as well. Everyone else on 23 games. That is not true. Bournemouth on 22. Brentford on 22 as well. I'm going to stop looking at something, making a comment, and then correcting myself. Also, not good podcasting. But the match week happened. Let's go through each game. We're going to do it a little bit different because I'm the only one on pod. It'll be easier this way. I'll keep it brief, keep it short. We should have a shorter ep on this one. First game of the week, you had Everton, you had Tottenham. It was 2-2. Richarlison in the fourth, Jack Harrison in the 30th ties it up. Richarlison again in the 41st, and Branthwaite in the fourth minute of stoppage time salvages a point for Everton. It would be all for naught just because Luton, as we're going to get to here, also gets a point. But interesting game. The one thing that I think I am most impressed with Postecoglou is how well he's gotten Richarlison to play. 10 goals, 3 assists this season. And on this pod especially, Richie was a bit of a laughing stock, the butt of the joke, so to speak. And you know, I do think Tottenham, when they get healthy, they're going to be a tough out. It's going to be hard to keep them out of fourth. I think we'll get to that maybe later. I think they got a lot of talent, and I know they drew Everton, so it's a weird time to be bringing up Tottenham's talent. But I think once they get everyone healthy and get used to playing with each other, this is going to be a tough team. They got a lot of talent, and Sonny's coming back. So we'll see. He could play this weekend. I would think that he's not going to. Could play this weekend, but it'll be interesting to see. Let's talk Everton. Look, this relegation race just got really interesting, and it's because Luton has been pretty impressive. Everton sitting 18th on 19 points. Luton in 17th on 20. Nottingham Forest, we'll get to you in a second. 21 points, you're fucking up. I don't know. As brash and bold as this pod was about how many points you could take from Everton and they'd still be safe, I think we're turning a new leaf on that. I think that's not going to be true for very much longer. This team's got to get back to getting points. This is a good example of them doing it. Drawing Tottenham here. But I'm a little worried. I'm a little worried, and it's because Luton has brought the relegation battle to them. They've brought the relegation battle to Forest. They kind of low-key have brought the relegation battle. I don't know. Palace is still a little further away. I think Brentford's going to be fine because they're going to get Tony back going. But Luton Town deserves a dude of the week, to be totally honest. Everton's next games, City at City. They're hosting Palace. That needs to be a point, if not three. Brighton at Brighton, West Ham, and then Man United at Man United. So not the easiest run. I do think if you can get 4 or 5 points in those, you're back to being good. I would circle Palace as one that they can win, especially with it being at home. Everton, they got to get back in gear, and they can't lose any more points to FFP. So that'll be an interesting caveat as well. Brighton, 4-1 over Crystal Palace. Duncan the third, Hinchelwood in the 33rd. Buonanotte a minute later in the 34th. Mateta gets one back for Palace to make it 3-1. It was inconsequential though. Pedro in the 84th. A thrashing. To be honest, we should have seen this coming because Brighton had not scored, I believe, in 2 games. And that just doesn't happen, right? You also knew they weren't going to get a clean sheet. Betting the over for Brighton should be mandatory for anyone betting the Premier League. That's for sure. The real story here is how much longer does Roy Hodgson have? Reports coming out is that they just can't find anyone to replace him midseason. If they can make it, I honestly think they're like 8 points away from being safe. They're on 24. If they get to 32, I think they're going to be good. That doesn't sound like a lot. I could be totally wrong. I usually am on this pod. But if they can survive this season not going down, all signs point to them being able to do that. But if they can survive this season not going down, I don't think they got to worry about signing and getting a new coach midseason. I think they should take that offseason, try to find the right guy, and actually get out there, start selling what this position could be. It's a London team. They have a ton of talent. They're going to be able to sell a lot of this talent so that there's going to be room in the budget to reinvest. And I think that they need to be looking for new ideas, new ways to win, new ways to score. Love old boy Roy, but it's kind of over there. And then Brighton is just being Brighton. You know, 1 week they look like a team that you've never seen before because they can't score. And then next week it's back to De Zerbi as always. 4 goals is pretty standard for them. I think they'll be fine. Where do they top out at, in my opinion, is probably 8th, where they're at right now, 8-7 right there. Will be interesting to see how they continue in Europe as they move forward. Burnley, 2-2 against Fulham. Nothing worse if you're a Burnley supporter than getting that all-important point and then seeing everyone around you also get a point, and that is what happened to them. I think Fulham's Jekyll and Hyde as well. Some weeks they look really great. Other weeks they're the team that we were like, hey, if these three teams that came up didn't come up, Fulham would be in trouble. They got some veterans though, and I think that's what's going to pull them through. No real threat, in my opinion, to get relegated. 26 points. They're going to get some more as we move forward. I think Marco Silva is a really, really good coach. Like I was saying about Roy, you have to ask the question, when's Vinny going to get let go? I would love, and we mentioned this last pod, Michael and myself, but I would love if this Burnley team were like, look, 103 points in the championship. You won it for us. You got us up. We're going to get the parachute payments. This team's a really, really good championship team. We're not going to really have to sell too many players because they want to stay in the prem on this team, I don't think. It'd be nice if they stuck with him. Let him get his heels back in. Let him get him up again next year in the championship. Really hard division, as everyone knows, to be able to do that. There's no guarantee. But as of late, if you go down in the Premier League, you tend to go right back up. And I think that there's a few teams down there this year that are proving that correctly. Shout out to Leicester. Southampton's doing pretty well as well. I would love to see Burnley stick with them. You know, Vincent Kompany and JJ Watt, I feel like, have a lot in common. They're the dude perfects of their sport. I would love to see it. I don't know if it's going to happen. I think that is pretty naive of me to even expect that to happen, but I would love Vinny to stay. I do think this team is still really young. They got talent. They need another year to develop. They got a year of the Premier League under their belt. Are they going to go down? Yes, absolutely, I think. But I would love for him to stay. So we'll see what happens there. Speaking of teams that we've mentioned multiple times and that are in the relegation scrap, Newcastle 4, Luton 4. This game was nutty. We were texting in the group chat about it constantly. It was a crazy, crazy, crazy game. Longstaff opened the scoring up for Newcastle in the 7th. Osho tied it up for Luton in the 21st. 2 minutes later, Longstaff got a second, 2-1 Newcastle. Barkley, who has been the Luton Town talisman, and that's a crazy thing to say, to think Ross Barkley was going to be the catalyst for a team to pull themselves out of relegation. He got the game-tying goal in the 40th minute. Luton Town then went up with a Morris Penn in the 59th and an Adebayo goal in the 62nd. They were up 4-2, but Trippier scores in the 67th, and Harvey Barnes, how you doing, in the 73rd. He's been out, hasn't played that many minutes. I think he'll be a great impact for this Newcastle team moving forward. They get a draw. It's away from home for Luton too, which is actually kind of incredible, because we expect if they're going to have good results, it's going to be a home match. And Newcastle is going to do this. Newcastle is going to be Jekyll and Hyde. The thing that I want to say is shocking that this was at home, that this result happened while at St. James Park. But Luton's tough. Luton want to stay up. They want to prove everyone wrong. They got the chip on their shoulder. And Ross Barkley putting in a FOTMOB rating of 9.1 is nutty. Nutty. I do think if there's one team out of the three to stay up, I think the pod is all said. We'd love it to be Luton just because it's a great story. Still not sure what's going to happen there. My betting money would say they're going to fade a little bit and be in the bottom three, but you never know. I'm not as concerned as other people are with Newcastle. I've seen some people say that this is an unacceptable season. I've seen people say that they should be really disappointed. To be honest, I think that getting into the Champions League last year, they were, if not 2 years, a year ahead. You're adding all those games on before you actually were able to get the squad depth that you need. So they were essentially running into Europe, running into multiple competitions here in England, and then trying to perform at that high level as well. This season with a shorter team, no squad depth. Everyone's dealing with injuries this year. They're no different. And I think that it's impressive that they were able to get to the Champions League spot last year. Again, I think it was earlier than what they thought and scheduled. Let the money talk moving forward. Get some squad depth. Get other really good players. And I know they're having some FFP issues right now where they're going to have to sell someone to then get someone. But I think next year you're going to see this Newcastle team be a staple in the top six and just be a staple in Europe. Who is that going to kick out between some of those traditional big six teams? Looking like Chelsea, maybe Man United. But I think they were a year ahead, and I think steady as she goes, stay on the ship, know that this year is going to be a growth year, and kind of look forward for next year for Newcastle. Although, like I said, weird result to have this happen at St. James Park. Sheffield 0, Aston Villa 5. This game was more impressive for Villa if we would have recorded this episode before the FA Cup game against Chelsea that they lost. McGinn in the 12th, Watkins in the 16th, Bailey in the 20th, Tillemans in the 30th, Moreno in the 47th. Again, I was talking to Michael after they lost to Chelsea in the FA Cup. He was kind of telling me, hey, I don't get Villa. Jekyll and Hyde. I don't understand how they're doing this, how they can look so, so good in one moment and so bad the next. If I'm the owners of Aston Villa, if I'm Wes Edens, you need to protect Unai Emery. You need to not let him get any emails, any messages from any other big teams. You need to keep him there. You got to get him committed to the vision of this team. Villa's in Birmingham. It could be a really big team. It was before, obviously, but it's a second biggest city in London, or in London, in England. It's the second biggest city in England. I think Villa has the potential, and they have the backing, the financial backing by their ownership group to be good and really good. And as good as they've looked their time against Arsenal this year and their time against City this year consistently. And I think that this is the first full year under Unai. Get him to next year with a lot more of his guys and a lot more of these guys playing in the system, and they're going to be fine. And I think it's going to be really impressive because I think they also recruit very, very well, and they reinvest the money that they sell really well. So you saw the Grealish money go to a lot of different players. You're going to see, I'll say, like, Leon Bailey's having a great year this year, but like, he's getting towards the end. If they can get some money out of that, that'd be great because then they can reinvest it. Douglas Luiz is probably going to sell for a pretty penny at some point. Reinvest that money. Ollie Watkins, you're going to get to keep for a little bit longer, I think. But if someone really wants a striker, they're going to come in and you're going to make them spend a lot of money. They're good at business. They're a version of Brighton, it seems like. Sheffield United, dead in the water. Let's move on. Bournemouth, 1-1. Against Nottingham Forest, Clivert in the 5th, Hudson-Odoi in the 45th. There was a red card for Bournemouth in the 84th minute. Kind of was inconsequential at that point. Weird result. Bournemouth is also going to be inconsistent. And honestly, if you can, we've said this many times and it's a duh comment, but the more consistent you can be in the Premier League, the better off you're going to be. Didn't know if you knew. But this game at the Vitality, the Nottingham Forest team that, again, is in that area where if there weren't these three teams that came up this season, Nottingham Forest would be down. It's crazy, crazy, crazy to me that they have the names that they have on this roster. Gibbs-White, Hudson-Odoi, Elanga, Iwuanyi. Who else did I see? Gio played for his first game in this one. I had a few other ones that I was looking at. Divock Origi played in the FA Cup. I totally forgot he was there too. But it's like the band of misfit toys that are actually not very good toys. It's very average. I would be worried if I'm a Nottingham Forest fan because you're seeing that line of demarcation in the relegation battle move closer and closer. You're on 21 points. Everton's in the drop on 19 points. You got to be careful. Can I also say something else? I think Gio Reyna going to this team is not going to be the spark you were looking for. I want it to be. I need him to be good. I want U.S. men's national team to play really, really well. I think more than anything and more than a move to a different club, that guy needs some therapy and to figure out what the fuck happened in Qatar. I think that's even more important than his mental health. Because he's so skillful and he would, in another timeline, would have not been on Forest's radar to be able to bring in. And hopefully he can find the form, but I think pessimistic when it comes to this type of thing. And I'm a little worried about that one too. So Bournemouth, look, when you get better and you're under Iraola and you're going to make this transition that our good friend Craig was talking about at the beginning of the year, these are games you're going to have to win to keep that going. I'm not docking you now. You're safe. You're having a decent season. You're going to beat teams you're not supposed to. You're going to lose teams you're not supposed to. That's just how this year is going to pan out for you. Forest, be concerned. Be really, really concerned. Another team that should be concerned, Chelsea. 4-2 loss to Wolves. I mentioned it in the Dudes of the Week, but Cunha with a hat trick. Cole Palmer opened the scoring in the 19th. Cunha responded in the 22nd. He then, Desai had the own goal in the 43rd to put Wolves up 2-1. Michael, I was giving Michael the score like on lap 7, 8, 9, and 10 of our race this weekend on this one. So we were kind of tracking it that way. Cunha again in the 63rd and then again in the 82nd on the pen. Thiago Silva with a goal in the 86th again, kind of inconsequential. Look, I waxed poetic about Wolves in Dudes of the Week. Just such an impressive job by Gary O'Neill. And again, this team's tough. And to win this one away from home, I think this season especially, it's hard to win away from home. No matter what team you are, no matter what team you're playing, it's hard to win away from home. And the fact that they're able to do it and do it as consistently as they have, or just play well as consistently as they have with the injuries and the sales of players, and everyone's predicting them to go down, has been super impressive. As impressive as Wolves have been, that's how unimpressed I am by Chelsea and will continue to be, because I don't think that there is a plan there. Man, what are you going to say? I'm just looking, like Dylan said it perfectly in the text he sent to us. The midfield at Chelsea, I think, cost somewhere around $220 million, and they just got totally manhandled by a midfield that cost $20 at Wolves. And, you know, I don't want to be this type of person, but if you've been listening to this pod long enough, you know that a lot of us are kind of just enjoying this. Sit back, relax, and watch the self-destruction. Nobody can take their eyes off of a train wreck. And it's no different here. I don't know what their next move is. I think that the owners are naive. They don't know what they're doing. And the recruitment at Chelsea should be studied in schools of how not to fucking do that job. It's insane. Just insane. So, Chelsea in the mud. United 3, West Ham 0. Hoyland in the 23rd, Garnacho in the 49th, and 84th. Is this the most boring 3-0 possible in the sense of, like, do I think West Ham's that good? No. Do I know United's not that good? Yes. They're 6 points off of fifth with Tottenham. They are 8 points off of Champions League, which is actually a little shocking to me, thinking about how many off-the-cliff conversations I feel like we've had to have with Nick this year. They're putting together, I guess, a bit of a run, so to speak. They beat West Ham. They beat Wolves. They drew Tottenham, which I think is a pretty good draw in their past three Premier League games. What they have coming up next is Villa at Villa. That'll be a really tough game, and that might bring them back down to earth. Then they got Luton at Luton, where it's like you're supposed to win this one, but it's a tough game because it's at Luton. So the next two games for sure for United in the league are going to be interesting. And then you got the Manchester Derby on March 3rd, which is, you know, 5 games away. It'll be interesting. I do think that, oddly enough, there's some gelling going on in the front line. Rashford, Hoyland, Garnacho. Michael and I were talking last pod about the roster, and I kind of mentioned, I was like, you know what, I'm not disappointed with that front line. Garnacho's so young, Hoyland's so young. Rashford, Michael is pretty down on, but with those three and then Fernandez, and they're going to keep giving minutes to Kobbie Mainoo. He looks good. You got the front. I think the defense, and I would assume that Nick would agree with me, that defensive line is just an abomination for the most part. Martinez, I think, might have gotten injured in this one again, so we'll have to see what happens there, but it's the back line. The back line's aging, and the people that are young are getting hurt, so it's been tough. Tough year for Nick, tough year for United, and honestly, just seeing this result, I don't have much else to say, especially for West Ham. West Ham is the weirdest, hey, we're in seventh place team ever. The craziest thing is they're only 5 points off of being in 11th with Chelsea. So that 6 to 11 area is 7 points apart, and it's just going to be kind of a traffic jam, I think, throughout the rest of the year. We'll have to see how that shakes out. But I don't have many thoughts for West Ham. Hopefully they can continue in Europe. I think it's really interesting when they win, and when they won it last year, that was awesome. So I'll be more interested in those games. They're going to be safe. And do I think they qualify for Europe? No, I just don't. I think they end up outside looking in. Big game. Watched this with Michael. We watched it post-race. I was actually pretty bubbly. I was down in some Guinnesses with Morgan, his girlfriend. Michael was feeling weird. I now come to understand why. I think he was a little bit nervous for this one. But I will say this. A 3-1 win against Liverpool has never looked more . I'm not, as a City fan, I'm not worried about Arsenal. I've said this throughout this season of podcasts, and I will continue saying it because I know it's true. This Arsenal team is not clutch, and this Arsenal team will falter and will fold like a cheap tent down the stretch. And I know that they're getting better, and I know that they have two big wins. They beat Liverpool and they beat City. Great. You're still in third. You had the opportunity with Kevin De Bruyne going down, Haaland going down, to get an actual lead in the table against City, and you didn't do it. Same can be said about Liverpool. Now with City's game in hand, they can go top if they win it. That's going to come back, I think, to haunt them. And we'll talk about that in the City game a little bit. But, you know, Saka had the first goal in the 14th minute. There was an own goal right before half that tied it up. Gabriel put it in. Martinelli in the 67th and Trossard in 90 plus 2. This game was all about the mistakes that were made more than anything else. I will say, I just said, Arsenal is going to fold. They don't have the strength to get it done down the stretch. They defend very well, though. Liverpool did not have many chances. And I think Liverpool had the right mindset going into the second half, where I say this to the indoor team I play with all the time, pucks on net. Let's take some shots. Let's see if Raya can actually save any of these. The only problem was they just weren't on target as they wanted. The midfield for Liverpool is still a question mark at times. I know McAllister's really good. Curtis Jones has had really good games, so I think he's the answer. No. I know Gravenberch can be really good. I think he's still assimilating. The other question is going to be, if all these guys are looking to assimilate and then Klopp leaves, what's the next step? So we'll have to figure that out when we'll cross that bridge when we get to it type of stuff. But, you know, I did leave the Mexican restaurant that we were at watching this game, and it's a Liverpool bar. It was actually a pretty good atmosphere. They were shouting a little bit. But I left that bar not being impressed that much with either of these teams, and especially knowing what City's getting back and what that's going to look like kind of moving forward. Defense for Arsenal, like I said, looked really good. They limit the chances. They limit the shots. I believe their expected XG against this season is actually only like 17 or 18. And they've only given up, I believe, like 25 goals. I can get this number for you. 22 goals, expected XG like 17. So defense is stymie. That's going to be their advantage. They have a lot of pieces moving forward, but I don't think any of the pieces are the answer. And that, my one caveat will be, is if Saka just goes into super soccer mode in the second half of the season. If he is playing out of his mind, they're tough. They're really, really tough, because I do think their midfield's pretty decent. Laugh about Jorginho, but I do know Declan mentioned in an interview that he feels comfortable knowing that Jorginho's on the field just because he has that veteran presence. And then you have Odegaard and Declan himself that are their game changers and their game impactors, and that midfield is going to be good. But like I said, left this game not that impressed with either of these teams. We'll have to see what happens. I'm on the record and will continue being on the record to say Arsenal don't win the league this year, and they might end up third or fourth. actually yelled that at the TV to defend my brother's honor at the end of this game and said, have fun in fourth when the season ends. So we'll see if that happens there. Brentford, Man City, 3-1 Man City. Maupé in the 21st, Foden in the 48th, 53rd, and 70th. All right. I will be a realistic City fan for the first 30 seconds here. We can't keep giving up the first goal of the game on the first shot that we concede. Two teams that are not as good as us. Our defensive line does not look that great. They look disjointed. They look discombobulated. Michael said many times, Gvardiol is not a left back, but he has to play there right now. I get it. We got to figure that out. It's next man up on this team. I have a feeling. Haaland has an assist, which is good for his mental. De Bruyne had an assist, which is just good for him to continue to develop. Foden had all three goals. Next man up. I love the attacking options for us. Obviously, got Haaland. Julian Alvarez, I think, is an even better shooter than Haaland and a better soccer football player than the big guy. Foden can score three goals. Bernardo had a crazy game against Newcastle. And then if you look on our bench, Doku's still figuring it out a little bit. Grealish is going to come back. You got Oscar Bob, who has proven that no moment is too big for a teenager. We want to get Stones back. Rico Lewis played such a key role for us last year and just hasn't really sniffed the field again. And I know that how Pep likes to do this is you're going to play in spurts. So I got a feeling there's going to be a back half of the season Rico Lewis run here. And the one person I didn't really mention is Kovacic and Nunez. Two people I didn't mention, Kovacic and Nunez. And I think that Dylan will tell you Nunez is not good. I've had people that know this sport better than Dylan tell me that he's going to be fine. So we'll have to see who wins that one out. Kovacic, I don't understand. But again, do I know the sport that well? Not really. It's fine. City are going to be tough. De Bruyne's going to be healthy. He says he's at 60 or 70% right now. That's dangerous for everyone else. Haaland's going to get back to scoring. And what is going to be most important for this team is, as we move forward here, what does the fixture list look like? Everton at home for us next at the Etihad. Then we go to Copenhagen. Then we have Chelsea in the league. Then we have Brentford at home. All these home games. Our next road game is going to be February 24th in the league against Bournemouth. We go to Luton for the FA Cup. March 3rd, Manchester Derby. It's at the Etihad. It's at home. And then a big game, March 10th at Anfield. That game will be massive. I think that if City get a point out of it, we're looking at the separation starting. I think that is a must-win game, depending on how those fixtures go up. Until then, a must-win game for Liverpool. Must-win game for Klopp, if he wants to leave on the highest of high notes, winning the league again. But must-win, must-win, must-win in a big game for the league for sure. City, 3-1. Foden, hat-trick. Let's get into some of the predictions. And the first thing I want to talk about, we don't really get to talk about this that much, is how we're doing on our Prem table. So you get 5 points if you get a team dead on, and then it trickles down from there. If you're 2 off, you get 3. If you're 10 off, you're -5. Dylan and Michael tied up 56 points. I got 52. Nick in the basement, 40. Some of the big call-outs here, I got Fulham dead on right now. I got Nottingham Forest dead on right now. Everyone's got Everton dead on. Michael had Palace on a fiver and Man United. Me and him also have Arsenal in third dead on. The big thing for Dylan is he has Arsenal winning. I think if Arsenal wins the league, obviously he's going to run away with this one. Everyone else had City. And the only big detractor that I am seeing on this list is I feel like a lot of us got West Ham wrong. Nick had him in 14th. We all got Wolves wrong. I had him, Michael and I had him in 17th. Everyone else had him in 16th. And then Burnley. Michael, Burnley in 12th, not even sniffing it. Negative two there. So always an interesting thing to do at the beginning of the season. Put your table down there. See exactly where people end up. Been doing it every year that even before we did this pod, Michael and I have done it kind of independently with each other. Really kind of fun to see what happens there. All right. Regular predictions. Let's get into it. It was not the best week for the boys across the board. Michael, I think, led us, Nick and Michael, 5-5 this week. Dylan ended up 3-7. I was 4-6. Michael is still in the lead, 128-100. Nick, sole possession of second now, 119-109. I'm sitting at 118-110. Dylan was within shouting distance of 500 this past week. Didn't help him, 110-118. Let me get into my predictions here. Your first game of the week is going to be Man City at Everton. It's an early kickoff, especially here in the U.S. I got City, Fulham hosting Bournemouth. This has draw written all over it, and I'm not going to fight the draws anymore. I'm not going to. I can't. I got to let it happen. I got to get back in this race. I think both these teams have a chance to win, and then whatever the result is, I'm not going to be shocked because no one can get these teams 100% correct, so let's go draw. Liverpool, they're hosting Burnley. Easy one there. Let's go with the pool. Luton hosting Sheffield United. Man, big 3 points if they can get it, and I kind of want to see them get it to make it interesting. I'm going with the Hatters at Kenilworth. Big win for them if they can pull it off. Spurs hosting Brighton. It's a battle of the birds. 4 goals for Brighton. Postecoglou not playing any defense. Brighton not playing any defense. Helter skelter. It's either a 4-4 draw or it's 5-4 Spurs. And I'm going to go 5-4 Spurs just because it's at home. Wolves at Brentford, or Wolves hosting Brentford. Ride the hot hand, baby. Going Wolves. I think it's going to be heavy home team for this one. Going Wolves. As I say that, I look down. Nottingham Forest hosting Newcastle. I don't want to sniff Nottingham Forest at the moment. I just don't. I know that Newcastle's inconsistent, and I know that they don't have the depth, but I don't want to sniff Nottingham Forest right now. So let me go Newcastle here. West Ham hosting Arsenal. Arsenal's riding high. When your captain's taking pictures of the photographer after a win, you're riding high. I got a feeling they're going to keep it going, but don't be surprised. A little trip up game. No one can really get a hold on West Ham here. If they win a 1-0 or a 1-1 to take some points from Arsenal, I won't be shocked. But to be safe, let me go Arsenal. Villa hosting Man United. I want to believe. That is X-Files. Don't quote me, but I want to believe. And I want to believe in Unai. And I'm going to go Villa because it's at Villa. So let me go Unai. Let me go Aston Villa here. Let me go Villains. And then Crystal Palace hosting Chelsea. Has there been a game ever on the calendar that we shouldn't just give a shit about? This would be one of them. Chelsea in the mud. Palace in the Roy. Let's go draw. Just because I can't make heads or tails of either of these teams. And I like Palace as a club. I hate Chelsea as a club. Best I can do is a draw. All right, there's your predictions. Hopefully the guys will be back next week. We want to get a little bit more consistent as well. But hope you enjoyed. Like, subscribe, share. Give us 5 stars wherever you get your podcasts. Send this to someone who kind of likes football, kind of likes soccer. We'd love to get some more listeners. And if you are watching on YouTube, thanks for sitting in with me, looking at my office, looking at my outfit, looking at me, my ugly mug. Leave me a comment. Interact with us. We'd love to hear it. NAFT Podcast out. The solo ep over. Come on, you city. Come on, city.
the NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.